Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 through 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Here ends our lesson. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A theme for this week: Jacob struggled with God before he could be blessed. I hadn't really thought about this story in these terms before, but Jacob, renamed Israel, which literally translates from Israel in Hebrew to mean one who struggles with God in English, came by his blessing at the Lord's hands the hard way. In preparation for meeting Esau, the brother he had cheated long before when they were much younger, Jacob sent his family away and remained alone on his side of the river Jabbok. At this point in the story, the text simply says, "Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak." It's kind of crazy to think that a random guy would just come up to Jacob and start wrestling with him for no reason until morning. But that is what the text says. Yet as we read a little further into the passage, we get the picture that this was not your run-of-the-mill wrestling opponent. When dawn started to inch over the horizon, the stranger knocked Jacob's hip out of its socket so he would give up the fight and let him go. This was to no avail, though, so the stranger ordered that Jacob let him go, but Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Who was this Jacob that he would strive with this one obviously sent from the Almighty, even defying its orders that he free it before sunup? Surely this was not the same mama's boy from earlier in his life. This was not the same Jacob, the boy who could not compete with his brother Esau in terms of strength, so he cleverly cheated him out of both his birthright and his father's blessing. This was not the same Jacob who was later tricked into marrying Leah before her younger sister Rachel, whom he truly loved, because his father-in-law was cleverer than him, was it? That Jacob seems like no match to wrestle with a divinely appointed stranger and come out victorious. That Jacob seems like one who is better suited to stay behind the scenes and scheme his way forward. But Jacob had been through a lot since he had tricked his father Isaac into giving him his older brother's blessing and fled Esau's wrath because of it. Jacob had run away and become homeless, encountered God in a dream, worked for his father-in-law Laban the Hittite for 7 years, then for another 7 after realizing that he had been tricked into marrying Leah rather than Rachel. When he finally did get to marry his beloved, then he had to struggle under the pain of infertility with her, while Laban would again and again cheat him out of land, wages, and even the goats he was owed upon his departure from Laban's household. Jacob had struggled with his family, his work, foreigners, friends, and even with the livestock entrusted into his care. The same guy who, as a young man, had to use dishonest means to get what he wanted, had now been hardened by life. He had fought with the world for long and hard enough that now he was, apparently, ready to deal directly with this stranger from God. So Jacob forced his angelic opponent to submit to him. The angel struggled and competed against him all night long, but Jacob held his ground. I'm a little ashamed to say this, as one having grown up in Iowa, one of the top wrestling states in the country, but I probably would have given up after about 10 minutes. Wrestling wears you out. But not Jacob. Throughout his years of having to fight for himself and find his own way, Jacob had learned to fight, and fight he did. Then the angel threw out his hip. Nevertheless, he persisted. Finally, the angel pleaded with Jacob that he might be set free from this mortal's grasp. So Jacob demanded what only God could give him, a divine blessing from the Almighty. Jacob, now Israel, struggled with God and was made better for it. A lesson for the ages, if you ask me. Especially when we encounter times of great grief, doubt, despair, or other spiritual afflictions. Sometimes it is good to wrestle with God. It is kind of interesting when you think about it. Though Israel's story of literally wrestling with a messenger from the Lord is unique, the idea of the faithful having to struggle in their callings is not. Jacob had a vision that the Lord was going to do great things through him, but then immediately God comes and wrestles him to the ground for an entire evening. Moses was turned away by Pharaoh again and again, only to find the people he was trying to lead to freedom were even worse than the Pharaoh once they made it out of Egypt. Elijah had to escape death from the people that he was called to serve at every turn, bringing him to the point of such great despair that he asked God to kill him before he was assumed into his heavenly place. The list goes on. There is hardly a hero of the faith in our holy scriptures who had an easy go of it. It seems like most all of them could be called Israel because, like Jacob, they had to struggle with God in order to follow God's calling over their lives. And yet, in the church at least, we kind of have the expectation that the good Christian life involves going to church, never getting into too much trouble, and keeping life on the straight and narrow. For many of us, the idea of wrestling all night long with an angelic being probably seems pretty foreign to our faith experiences, at least how we encounter them from Sunday to Sunday. The drama our biblical heroes experienced in their lives does not seem to be how we do church these days. A big reason for this difference, at least as I believe, is because God became incarnate as Jesus of Nazareth. Now God does a lot of that wrestling for us. In our baptisms, just like the one we gratefully shared this week with Leif and Elliot here in Ronan, we are reassured that we do not have to seek God out randomly in the middle of the night by a river, because we are claimed as God's own in the holy waters. In communion, we dine at the table with the original disciples, and we literally share in the suffering and death of our Savior through the body and the blood, the bread and the wine. When we confess, we are reassured of our forgiveness. When we pray, we know that God answers because God became just like us and dwelt among us. Israel had to wrestle with God in a unique way because Jesus had not yet revealed that God is doing a new thing in the world. The good news for us here today is that though Jacob, Israel, had to struggle with God before he could be blessed. We are blessed through our baptisms before we have to struggle. Let me say that again. We are blessed before we have to struggle. Though I am sure the twins that we baptized this week, Leif and Elliot, have had many rough nights already, making those nights even tougher for their parents. They get to live the rest of their lives knowing and trusting that they are loved beyond compare by a God who promises never to leave them or forsake them. They are baptized. They are blessed. Everyone who has been claimed in the holy waters can say the same. This does not mean that life is always easy, but it does mean that before we endure the struggles that lie ahead of us, we have the gift of knowing that God has won the battle for us already. We do not have to fight or struggle in order to receive divine, eternal blessing. It has been given to us already. So, we have before us this week the waters of God's grace once again. Waters that tell us we do not need to fear. The same God who is claimed as the beloved Son of our Creator claims us and blesses us through these waters unto death and beyond. That is something worth remembering, cherishing, and rejoicing in our whole lives long. May the grace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.